Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
You're talking about a Reese's peanut butter cup the way barbecue aficionados talk about brisket.
This is what I do, cap. Ryan. This is what
you
I
have
do.
The moist, you have the flat, you have the fat cap and the deckle, and it's like I'm looking at a Reese's peanut butter diagram here. It's a cross section with different anatomical lines coming out of it.
The best part of Halloween to me over the years was after I'd go trick-or-treating with friends, getting home and getting together with those friends or sometimes my brother and throwing all the candy out on the table, and we would either have trades because we all have different tastes, or even better, we'd pile all the candy up and have a candy draft. And right now, that's exactly what we're going to do here on Hot Takes on a Plate on the Believe Podcast Network. We are having the ultimate Halloween candy draft. And who better to join me to have a draft than Eater New York critic Ryan Sutton. Ryan, I want to ask you about, you know, what you look for in great Halloween candy, but I also don't want you to kind of tip your hat at how you're going to be picking today. So let me just ask you this. As a critic whose job it is to eat in the best restaurants in New York, what is your overall take on Halloween candy? Because that's not high-end dining.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Rob. And you're exactly right. A mini Hershey's bar or a mini Snickers is certainly not... what's the right way to put it? A mini Snickers bar is certainly not... the liquid nitro air frozen souffle one gets at the chef's table at Brooklyn Fair, where one spends, you know, easily $500 after service tax and drink on a 16 course tasting menu. But of course, none of us eat like that every day.
Well, even you critics, do, sort of.
Well, of course, we don't. Not only did we
used to pre-COVID.
Maybe pre-COVID, we were able to indulge in such things maybe once a year. But I like to think that humans all eat candy. It's part of the quintessential global upbringing. I don't think there's a culture that doesn't eat delicious processed candy, at least not that I know of. It's just part of, I think, the human experience of mainlining sugar, hopefully to an excess.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Look, this is like the NFL draft, and I know you've taken this very seriously. I'm taking it seriously. There's strategy. We've put these candies through workouts and taste tests and interviews, and we've run the gamut on them. We've done background checks. We're super research. And so the way this is going to work is I'm going to flip a coin. I'm too cheap to have a quarter. I've got a nickel. I'm going to flip it here on the Zoom, let you see it. Whoever, I'll let you pick heads or tails, and whatever comes up, that you know, if it's your pick or whatever, you'll go first, and if it's not yours, I'll go first, and then whoever goes first, the other one gets back-to-back picks to keep it fair, and we'll kind of do that back and forth. We're going to each pick 8 total candies out of a list of about 50 I've come up with that are the common candies, if you will. We're not going to do anything esoteric here. It's going to be the common stuff that you would find on a typical trick-or-treating excursion. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so let's do the coin toss. Heads or tails?
Heads.
It is. Can you see? It's tails. It is
right
tails.
On.
So
your pick.
I didn't want to pick first. Do you want to trade? Do you want to trade picks?
No, that's right. I'll let you pick first.
All right. So here's the deal. I'm going to pick first. All right. This is. Hopefully this works out because I've actually. I don't want to give away anything, but here's the deal. I have in my scouting 3 candies that have graded way above everybody else. There are 3 these are all pros. Okay. These are like, can't miss. And so if I can get two out of these three, I'm going to be very happy. So I'm going to go one here. My number one pick.
I know what you're going to pick for. I know what you're going to pick for the first one. It's the same thing that everyone's going to pick.
I am picking the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Really? Okay, great. I had a different prediction, but God bless.
Oh, dang it. All right. And the reason I was picking the Reese's, well, I'll give my reason later because I don't want to tip my cap. But the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, I'm going the miniature. To me, the miniature is better than the actual cup because you get that fat cap of chocolate on the top. And if you freeze it, you can rip off that fat cap and you basically get two desserts. You get a little chocolate fat cap and then you get the peanut butter. And the thing about the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, yes, chocolate, peanut butter, fantastic combination. I'm not a huge peanut butter fan in general when it comes to candies, except for that peanut butter in a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. It is magical.
They could, I believe they even sell that in the grocery stores. For a while, they had a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup peanut butter brand. I never tried it, and I can't vouch whether it was the same peanut butter in the peanut butter cup. But I will say this, if I was some fine dining chef, I would like to find a way to buy that processed peanut butter and use it on all my desserts, because there's no way that any chef's one peanut butter could equal the processed sweet, salty bliss of what was inside the peanut butter cup.
So you're high on it. I would
buy a bag of Reese's peanut butter cups and have, you know, I would, as an executive chef, spend my entire night probably just, you know, carving out the peanut butter inside and finding a way to repurpose it for my own desserts. That's how delicious it is.
So this wasn't a bad pick. You were going to pick this pretty high.
Yes, but it wasn't necessarily my top pick.
All right.
I'm also glad you chose the mini, because the mini, for reasons that you have articulated better than I could, is unequivocally better than the large one. The large one is simply just too much, and the ratios feel better for the mini, likely for the fat cap reason you described, but also it just feels like you get a fatter little bit of peanut butter in there, where the peanut butter is just a touch thinner by volume. In the larger one, even if by overall mass, it is larger.
Oh, totally. And also, you can suck a miniature. You can't suck a peanut butter cup. It's just too big. You could shove the whole thing in your mouth, but it's ridiculous.
You're levels above me. I spend time preparing and researching, but I didn't. You're talking about a Reese's peanut butter cup the way barbecue aficionados talk about brisket.
This is what I do, cap. Ryan. This is what
you
I
have
do.
The moist. You have the flat. You have the fat cap and the decal, and it's like I'm looking at a Reese's peanut butter diagram here. It's a cross section with different anatomical lines coming out of it. So I'm not going to be able to articulate any of my choices at that same level. But let's just say I am in awe.
Well, I'll take that as a very high compliment coming from one of the most esteemed critics in the nation. Okay, so now you've got the second and third picture. I have a feeling you're going to break my heart. Because like I said, I think there's three candies that are head and shoulders above everyone else. So give me your two and why, and then give me your three.
All right. I think the first one is the one I thought you were going to pick. The second one is one that probably no one will pick because I have pretty specific tastes. So I'm... And I guess if I was a better draft picker, I would simply try to pick the one I thought you were going to pick, because that's the point of these strategies. But I'm kind of more of in a taste mood this morning. But that said, the first I'm going to pick is the Butterfinger bar, which is unequivocally one of the top candies of all time. And if my memory serves me correct, if we can reference other, you know, Halloween connoisseurs, I believe Lucas Peterson of the LA Times had his Butterfinger ranked pretty high. I think within the top two or three on his own list for the Los Angeles Times. I always respect his picks, and Butterfinger to me ranks as high, if not higher. It is simply a delicious Halloween candy. Like any other Halloween candy, the chocolate is not that great. It's more mealy chocolate, but what's inside is the true gem, the diamond in the rough. It's buttery. It's peanut buttery, but not too peanut buttery. It's sweet, but it has that aggressive saltiness to counteract it. It flakes kind of like a gently stale milfoya. That's about how I describe it. It's certainly less peanut buttery than it's less peanut buttery than a Reese's peanut butter cup bar. but nonetheless, it's just unequivocally delicious.
It sounds like you're describing it almost like the guy in the rom-com who starts out in the friend zone and ends up with the girl at the end, because he's maybe not the most handsome guy on the outside, but deep down he's got this amazing soul and this connection, and he wins the girl over by the end. That's the way you're describing the Butterfinger. I'm not bullish on the Butterfinger. I don't like the way it sticks in my teeth. I think the ratios are a little off. I'd personally rather have a Heath bar.
You see, and that's where I, and you know, be my guest. Feel free to pick the Heath bar. The Heath bar is simply too gourmet for Halloween. I'm not saying it's not good. A Heath bar is delicious. The Heath bar on the grand pantheon of any type of candy is probably the most buttery. In a very direct sense. Obviously, you have those toffee caramel flavors, but to me, eating a Heath bar is almost like eating a stick of butter.
Yes.
It's gourmet. And to say, I mean, that's not what you expect on Halloween. You expect something a little bit trashier. I mean, I feel like you could walk into a 3-Michelin-starred restaurant and a chef could hand you personally a Heath bar. And I would say you're still a 3-Michelin-starred restaurant, because a Heath bar is fancy. There's nothing fancy about a Butterfinger bar. A Butterfinger bar is epitomized by the cartoon character who is paid to flaunt the Butterfinger bar throughout our youths. And that cartoon character, of course, is Bart Simpson, whose skin color mimicked the color of the Butterfinger wrapper itself.
I hope Bart had a lot of floss growing up. That's all I got to say, because if he's eating that many Butterfingers, he needs the floss. Okay, so give me your second pick, third pick overall. Who are you taking in this draft?
Second pick, I am picking a Mounds bar.
That's a good one.
It is. And obviously, I think to a lot of people, coconut is polarizing. It's probably, I realize that when one eats a Mounds bar, it's not like picking a coconut off a pristine tree. It's not eating, it's not drinking, you know, a $6 bottle of coconut water. But it is, to me, a perfect blend of tastes. You have, you know, the aromatic, sticky coconut filling. And then you have that dark chocolate exterior. I always thought it was curious that Mounds was made from milk chocolate. That Almond Joy was made from milk chocolate and Mounds was made from dark chocolate. I thought you should be able to kind of mix and match the various styles of chocolates. And Mounds also, I think, hammers home the problem of a Butterfinger or a Reese's peanut butter cup. The quality of the chocolate is not good enough. That's not to say you want gourmet chocolate with all Halloween candies, but I feel like that's the little edge that you get from a Mounds. It gives you
like that dark chocolate.
Just a little bit better. Just a little bit gourmet, but not too gourmet.
See, I like the I'm high on Mounds and Almond Joy, and I've been debating in my head which one, if I had a chance, would I rather have. I tend to lean more toward Almond Joy because I like almonds and I like the crunch. I like a little texture. But I do appreciate the way the dark chocolate plays with the sweet coconut. It is a nice combination. I like dark chocolate when it plays off of something. I don't love dark chocolate as much when it's just kind of standalone. And so it's a nice combination.
No, I think you described it accurately. And I think the corollary to what you said explains why I have a hard time, pardon me, with some Halloween candies, including the ones I love, such as, you know, Snickers or what have you, is that it's not that I necessarily want dark chocolate with a Snickers bar or dark chocolate with a Reese's peanut butter cup. And I don't know if you've ever had a dark chocolate Reese's peanut butter cup, not by Reese's, but by other brands. They exist and they're not very good.
Yeah.
But the dark chocolate does serve as a reminder that sometimes it's a little less sweet and acts as a better foil to the slightly saccharine insides.
All right, so I'm up now. It's picks 4 and 5 in the draft. So to recap, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup went 1, Butterfinger 2, Mounds 3. You're kind of like the Oakland Raiders, the way they've kind of drafted over the years, Ryan. You're taking place kickers in the second round and doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Billy Beanball, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm going, look, I'm getting my top three. I'm getting them. I'm getting them all somehow.
Good.
So, and here we go. I'm going to go with as the number four pick, and I thought you were going to pick this one. I'm going Kit Kat, baby. Kit Kat to me is the most snackable chocolate Halloween candy out there. It is just like most Halloween candies, even if I like them, I can tire of them pretty quickly. They kind of grate on you. They wear on you. It's almost like, to use an analogy you used earlier, it's like barbecue. Like, I love barbecue, but I can't eat 6 pounds of barbecue. You get to a certain point, you get the meat sweats, you're done. The one chocolate on Halloween that I could just eat like bags full, it's Kit Kat. There's just something so simply enjoyable about a Kit Kat. So that's my pick on number four. And number five, Twix, baby. Give me that Twix. Give me that cookie, that layer of caramel, that chocolate, you know, the ability to be able to kind of rip off the top and eat the caramel with the chocolate and then save that cookie or combine the two, however you want to play it. To me, the three easily best Halloween candies are the peanut butter cup miniatures, the Kit Kat, and the Twix. They're all amazing.
No, you've picked, and I almost feel bad. I don't disagree with any of your picks. I just have picks that are different. And regarding your statements on, first of all, you take this obviously very seriously. Candy Frankenstein creations, like biting off the top side of a Twix. I ate Twix often in high school. They sold it during study hall on first period, which I had in first grade, and it was like 50 cents per Twix, and you got the full Twix. It was great. And we would, you know, have them as like a little, you know, breakfast snack, for lack of a better term. And as for Kit Kats, I'm a longtime fan of Kit Kats. I think we've all been enjoying the matcha Kit Kats as of late, wherever we can find them. I don't know if they're still only available in Japan or if you have to find them at specialty shops. But yeah, Kit Kats are great. I actually would eat Kit Kats a little bit differently than the way the instructions suggest, for lack of a better term. I would put a Kit Kat in my mouth. I would suck off the chocolate. And I never really liked the chocolate, but the chocolate was like the barrier. The chocolate was like the vegetable to get to your meat, and the meat was the wafer. And the wafer tasted good, so delicious just by itself, especially when you had to work through, you know, the spinach that was the chocolate. And then you eventually got to your steak. And so, yeah, Kit Kats are great, as are your other choices. But the reason I don't pick them for my Halloween candies is not that I don't enjoy them. I do enjoy them. To me, both a Kit Kat and a Twix is a type of everyday candy. It's something that's accessible. It's something that you can get in the, you know, the grocery store, the 7-Eleven, or wherever you procured your candy, where you're a kid, or now. It's part of one's everyday diet, for lack of a better term.
Whereas, wait a second. You're contradicting yourself, Ryan. You just went off on the Heath bar because it was too gourmet and too fancy. And that's a special occasion candy. So you can't have the special occasion candy on Halloween. But now you're talking about the accessible candy everybody loves and saying you can't have that on Halloween. Which one is it, Ryan?
Precisely. You're looking for kind of like a middle ground. You don't want too fancy, and you don't want too you don't want too low. You want kind of somewhere.
You're calling me
in the
basic.
Middle.
You're calling me basic. You're calling me avocado toast. I get it. Okay,
I would say
cool.
Basic. I mean, I would say, you know, it's one looks for something. The point of a Halloween candy is not an everyday indulgence, but not too fancy. You really are looking for the center of a yet undefined matrix.
So you're saying it is like Thanksgiving. It's like, you know, you don't eat the big turkey and the stuffing every day, but you're looking forward to it that one time a year, and only then.
That you know what, I think that might be the right description. Yeah.
All right, because. So you got pick six and seven here, your second and third picks. Where are you going with this now that I know your strategy?
I pick a Payday bar, which is one of the great candies of all time. What makes a Payday bar so great is that it tastes like each one was handmade. I mean, you can see the whole peanuts on there. It looks like food. It looks like something. You know, your everyday candy artisan next door kind of rolled up in nougat, and it's nourishing and it's delicious. You can taste the peanuts are aggressively salty, and then you have that little nougat on the inside. I actually just had a Payday bar about 2 months ago when I was cycling up. Mount Evans in Colorado, and I used the Payday bar as a snack to keep me going, and it was quite good. But I get another choice as well. So I'm going to continue going on. I'm going to pick Nerds. And the reason I pick Nerds is that so far we've amassed what I like to think are Bounds candies. They all have a certain degree of saltiness to them, and they have a certain degree of nourishment to them. Your Nerds, or your, say, your Sour Patch Kid, is essentially your acid balance. You know, if you have a high fat steak, sometimes you want a little chimichurri sauce. The Nerds are your chimichurri to your Butterfinger or to your Mounds. It's something a little bit puckery, but also a little bit sweet because it's Halloween candy. I was inclined to pick Sour Patch Kids, but I won't, because Sour Patch Kids are what you eat at the movie every day. It's two every day for Halloween.
Interesting. Yeah, Sour Patch Kids are huge in my family. My wife, that's one of her, like, if she was like dying last meal on earth, it would probably just be Sour Patch Kids with a side of watermelon. Like, that would be her last meal.
I've actually seen, like, gourmet chefs, you know, when you go to the end of some tasting menu or whatever, and they give you a little pâté de fruits. I've actually seen chefs coat them with citric acid to mimic the flavor of Sour Patch Kids, and I like that a lot.
My issue with the payday is that the payday to me almost is like eating a Kind bar, like a sweeter Kind bar. It's like, it's just like, it almost feels not healthy, but kind of, because there's no chocolate. It's a nut bar. I don't know. You talk about basic. I feel like payday is like an awesome candy bar stripped of its awesomeness, but okay. You know, each their own.
That's a fair argument. It also reminds me of, you know, since you bring up Kind bars, which would be a completely unacceptable as a Halloween candy. It reminded me of once one of, I think, Butterfinger on the back of the Butterfinger bag. And I think it was like a little blurb coming out of the mouth of Bart Simpson. I think he said something to the effect of a Butterfinger bar is as healthy as a granola bar. And I was like, great, I can eat these at school. It's not just about, you know, a Halloween candy anymore. And eventually I think I did sneak them in, you know, for like third grade snack or fourth grade snack. But what was incredible is that I thought, like, wow, this is healthy. But what I didn't realize is that most granola bars aren't healthy in the first place. There you go.
I think, all right, so I'm up now. I got picks 8 and 9, and I kind of, like, I was on the same page as you. I'm ready to pick some sugar because I need some balance. I got too much chocolate here. And this is where it gets a little tricky because I could go a few different directions with this. I've got sort of a second tier of sugars. I'm going to go for my next pick a little bit out there. I'm going Blow Pops. I'm going Blow Pops because Blow Pops, they give you a combination. It's two candies in one. You get a sucking component, and then you get the nice bubble gum at the end. It's something that has a little bit of last to it. You know, you can kind of play with it a little bit. A Blow Pop to me is very underrated, and I see you're grimacing. You're not feeling the Blow Pop.
No, it's not. I'm not a huge gum fan, although I do appreciate the gum in a Blow Pop. For me, there are various issues, and they also coincide with why I'm not a huge Tootsie Pop fan, although I will pick a Tootsie Pop over a Blow Pop any day of the week. And it's for a pretty simple reason. All parts of the Halloween candy should be truly edible, in my opinion. And so just the fact that you have this edible candy shell and the gum inside, which you can't swallow, it's like when you go to a pub and they put a ramekin on your plate that touches the fries. I don't want that ramekin of ketchup touching the fries. I want the ramekin not to be on the plate, because everything on the plate should be edible, and the stuff that's not edible should be on, you know, the bar top. And that's how I feel about the Blow Pop.
No, the Blow Pop's a palate cleanser. You know, that gum can be a palate cleanser to get you ready for the next thing.
Well, that's how I feel about the Tootsie Pop in terms of the two in one. And not to mention, I just love that brilliant contrast of that sickly sweet, you know, kind of crusty candy shell, and then you have that darker, richer chocolate. It's like a progression, a declension of tastes.
My next pick number 9 overall, to me is great because it's got a little neutrality. It's almost like a carbohydrate in the world of candy, and that is the Twizzler. You know, it gives you some carbs in the world of candy, and you can do so much with it. You could suck on it, chew on it, whatever. I actually really like the ones you get on Halloween that are not the traditional ones that you find, you know, in your packs in the supermarket, but it's like the fun pack ones where they're a little bit chewier and a little bit sweeter. You're not feeling the Twizzler, Ryan. God, I made a bad pick because I could have picked this one later.
And no, I'm grimacing because you picked the one I was going to pick next.
Oh, good. Yes. Oh man, I had like 3 or 4 I was debating, and I got to one. Yes.
We finally had some overlap. The Twizzler is a Regal candy, and I smite all those who disagree. It is really, you know, and I think you were alluding to this, it's kind of the carbohydrate of the candy world. It has a starchiness to it. It has chew, it has heft, but yet it provides that without overwhelming the palate or your stomach, because it's not too incredibly sweet. The way it works the jaw is it's quite pleasant and pleasurable. It's a candy. You can eat more Twizzler than you can eat Snicker or Twix.
And I'll give you a movie theater hack. Take a traditional Twizzler, bite off the ends of it, use it as a straw, and then yes, eat it, and it becomes hard. It becomes like jerky.
I've heard of the Twizzler straw. I didn't know it took on the air of jerky. I'm gonna have to.
It becomes a better Red Vine.
I bet it does. Oh, God willing, when movie theaters open up again, we're gonna have some candy eating to do. maybe we'll all, you know, it's New Yorkers have still not been able to see Tenet yet, and I hope one day. Although I realize there are larger problems in the world than people seeing Tenet, and they can just stream the movie in the first place.
Okay, so we're now up to picks 10 and 11 in our 16 pick candy draft. Ryan, where are you going now?
Okay, this is difficult because again, you kind of threw me a curveball, and so I'm gonna have to go to one of my everyday candies that I didn't necessarily want to chew, because I need something that's kind of nourishing and you can keep eating. That's like Twizzlers, but not a Twizzler. One could probably choose Red Vine, but for the sake of variety, I'm going to pick Haribo gummy bears, which are truly one of my everyday candies. If you put me in any hotel anywhere in the world and there's a mini bar, there will be no Haribo gummy bears by the time I leave that hotel. They are insanely delicious. And again, like a Twizzler, it's something you can just kind of keep eating while watching TV, and they're not too caloric, they're not too fatty, they're not too overwhelming. They're perfectly snackable, but yet they don't have the strong flavor of, say, licorice, which is, you know, like in a Good and Plenty, which has a little bit of a stronger flavor. This is more neutral. Haribo gummy bear is kind of like a, you know, it's like the chicken breast of the candy world. It's something that can keep you nourished. You know, whereas the chicken breast provides protein, this provides just, you know, like jaw masticating sustenance.
Now, I will say this, and I did not put it on the list because I've never seen them handed out on Halloween, but I'm not a huge Haribo gummy guy. I am in team, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Albanese. There's this other gummy bear. I think it's spelled Albanese. Sahadi's, which is near me in Brooklyn, serves it in bulk. In fact, I had the bulk gummy bears from Sahadi's, and I'm like, these are not Haribo. These are amazing. Like, they're so much better. And then I did some research. They're Albanese. And I'm telling you, these Albanese gummy bears, if you can find them, will blow Haribo out of the water. They are not as firm, but they're also like not that off-putting, sort of like acidic. Like, they're a little bit sweeter, and they just have like this flavor. It's like, I don't know, it's like bolder. It's like you'll never eat another gummy bear. But that's my hot take on gummy bears. I couldn't put them in here because they're not like a thing you find on Halloween.
I'll look into it. And just by the same token, for Haribo gummy bears, one thinks of the regular gummy bear. And incidentally, one of the cool things about Haribo gummy bears is the color of the bear doesn't always coincide with the flavor it purports to be. Like, for example, I believe the green one is strawberry, which I think is very cool. I can't remember exactly what the flavor profile is, but it's they pull a little fast one on you. I actually use Haribo gummy bears to test the palates of my food writing students at CUNY. I pass around gummy bears and I have them, you know, identify the flavors, and they're always tripped up by that one miscolor. I think it's strawberry. I get one more pick now though, don't I?
Yeah, you do. You get another pick.
And then I was worried that I was gonna overlap with you in this one. And I was initially tempted to pick it earlier, but I knew this was kind of a dark horse. I'm gonna go with the York peppermint patty.
Oh, okay. It
truly is one of, you know, just as I was arguing that the Heath bar was gourmet, I believe this comes close to that gourmet territory, just in terms of its ethereal, snowy texture on the inside, and that just that bit of dark chocolate. on the outside. And I could take them either large or I can take them mini. I'm kind of agnostic on them. I mean, I could, if you had a hamburger sized peppermint patty, I would eat it. That's how much I like this. I once stayed at a, before I joined Eater, I had like 5 days off. And so I just went to a hotel in Utah and went skiing for a few days. I just, you know, just wanted to chill out. And at this, it was the only, I think, hotel I could find around the area that had like space. It was just a little spendier than I was used to. So it was kind of like a little bit of a fancy hotel. And to me, the fanciness of the hotel was manifested by the fact that there was kind of this all you can eat York peppermint patty buffet. Not really a buffet. It was more like just a small bowl of peppermint patties at the front desk of the hotel. And to me, that constituted an all you can eat peppermint patty buffet. And I can tell you that every time I went up to that front desk, I took like a handful of peppermint patties and I stuck them in my ski jacket. It was essentially like lunch for me on the ski slopes. That's how vital a peppermint patty is in Sutton lifestyle. And it is absolutely majestic. And it was also superior, I think, in most instances, but especially in Halloween, it is superior to the other mint thing, which is the junior mint. A junior mint is more of a movie theater candy.
Oh, York see, peppermint. I did not have York peppermint patty on my list. I did have junior mints on my list. Junior mints to me are just, I like the size of them, the shape of them, and I like the minty filling much better on a junior mint than I do on the peppermint patty.
Well, you see, my response to that is that a junior mint is great in its own right. You know, it's creamy, it's soft, it's delicious. I'm not the first person to use those words, and they melt very easily on your mouth. But again, it's more for a movie theater when you just kind of, you know, want it to dissolve. Whereas the York peppermint patty requires a bit of a chew. It's more of a walking Halloween candy. It's the peppermint version of a Twizzler, even though it's not as fun.
All right, so I've got picks 12 and 13 here, and I'm having a hard time. I'm not going to lie, because I have candies that I prefer, but one of my strategies here, I'll just give it away, is I'm looking for balance on my team. I don't want a team that's like too one note. And one of the things I'm missing right now when I look at my list is I have a lot of sort of single unit things, you know, a single blow pop, you know, I guess a Twizzler might come in a pack of two. So that's a little bit diversity, but I like having, like, you've got nerds where you can kind of munch on a few at a time. I need a little bit of that diversity here. And so I think my next two picks are going to be sort of multiple units in a pack picks. I'm going to go with one chocolate and one sugar. The chocolate one, I'm going to go with peanut M&Ms. I actually kind of wish, to me, the best M&Ms are the pretzel M&Ms.
Correct.
Can I go that? I didn't have it on the list. Can I go pretzel M&Ms? Okay.
I'll allow it. I'll allow it. It's a late ad. I probably would have picked it too, but I think it's more important that we can agree that the pretzel M&M is probably the best M&M. I think that's the larger point here that's worth conveying to millions.
I want that salty and sweet, but I also need that crunch. And that's what either a peanut M&M or an almond M&M or a pretzel M&M, you know, I don't want peanut butter in my M&M. Get that out of here. I want that crunch. So I'm going pretzel M&M. And then the other one I'm going to go, I've got like three I'm debating between. Oh, you know what? Okay. So I could go a more traditional candy, but you know what? I think just because Ryan's here, I'm going to go a little, you know, no, I'm going to go traditional. I'm going to go Skittles. Heck, whatever. I'm going Skittles because I need a little something acidic. I was debating some other things, but I'm going to go Skittles. I'm going to go Skittles because not only is it acidic, but it also gives you a little bit of a harder texture. I like the harder textures. You can kind of chew on it. And honestly, it allows me to explain another hot take I have, which is Starbursts are just lame Skittles. They're Skittles without the shell. It's eating wax. Starburst is wax. It's a wax candy. Give me the Skittles.
Skittles are great. The second I start eating Skittles, I just immediately associate Skittles with the famous Jay Moore SNL sketch, where Jay Moore does his famous Christopher Walken impression as if he was on a Skittles ad, and it requires me to do my Christopher Walken impression. Sorry, I won't do it now. It's not really a Christopher Walken impression. It's a Jay Moore doing Christopher Walken impression. And so there are multiple metal layers to it. I'd need to have a few cocktails to get there, but I associate Skittles with that skit. And so I have some issues there. I do disagree. I think Starburst are great. Starburst of course are not as great as Hi-Chew. But they do provide that same, level of, the chew, for lack of a better term. You know, they work out your jaw a little bit. They are a little bit plasticky, but you know, they make you work for their love. it's not something that just, you know, it's like eating, you know, sometimes you want a filet mignon, which is silky. Maybe that's your Skittle, but sometimes you want a strip steak where you have to work for that flavor. And that's what a Starburst is.
All right, Ryan, you got two more picks, 14 and 15. What are you rounding out your team with?
Oh, that's easy. Like I said before, I have thoughts about a lot of these, but not everyone is a perfect Halloween candy. Let me just say, I'm glad no one picked Runts so far, because Runts are not edible. They are plastic in a box.
I'm glad nobody's picked Good and Plenty.
I don't mind Good and Plenty so much. I like that. I'm not a huge licorice fan, but they have a little bit of savoriness. I also don't mind Charleston Chew when you throw it in the freezer and it becomes that kind of edible chalk.
No, they're good. I like Charleston Chew.
But let's see. If I had to pick just a few more, I'm going to go with Jolly Ranchers.
Really?
Because it's just this quintessential candy that conveys both acidity, but also that kind of that generic artificial watermelon flavor that became part of our, you know, I think collective taste profiles growing up. And the same could be said about the Jolly Rancher Green Apple. Those are, by many orders of magnitude, the best flavors of Jolly Rancher. And then I guess rounding things out, I could say Whoppers, just because it's a very distinctive malty flavor that I think is both polarizing and amazing. It's like, you know, just bringing on a really cool, quirky baseball player who has, you know, the Whopper is more of a DH than an all-arounder, if you know what I mean. I'm having a hard time coming up with my last one. Am I allowed to pick a different variety of M&M than you did?
I mean, you can, but it would be sort of it wouldn't be in the spirit of things. I mean, like, I can't even pick Junior Mints, I feel like, at this point, because it would just be too overlapping.
That's fair enough. I was going to say, if I had to pick an M&M, while appreciating that pretzel is undoubtedly the best, I think the caramel ones are pretty good too, especially when they're cold, because you get a little bit of extra texture. But let's see, if I had to pick one more, it wouldn't be Sweet Tarts, which is a little bit chalky, although I certainly don't mind them. I'm going to go back, I think, to my staples. I'm going to go to a mini roll of Rolos. And the roll that I like a Rolo,
solid,
I
think, pick. Solid,
for the same reason that you enjoy the mini peanut butter cup, is that you can kind of put it in the freezer and make it into a bit more of a hearty snack. Like a mini Rolo is actually, it's a nice breakfast. You have your sweet, and you have your salty, and the chocolate kind of gets out of the way of things. And so, I think I'm gonna end my picks with that.
No, that's a solid one. I'm a little perplexed by the Jolly Rancher, but you know, it's basically it's blow pop without the gum. But okay, I guess if you're left with that, and you've got Rolo, which is Twix without the cookie, so I'm feeling good about my position in life. Now, I got the last pick in the draft here, and I'm struggling. Look, still on the board for me, things that I'm considering: Mike and Ike's. I love Mike and Ike's, and they're sitting there. That I was really debating between Mike and Ike and Skittles. Sour Patch Kids are still on the list. You know, Snickers, nobody picked a Snickers. I know it's basic, but it's like, I think for most people, it's a top three. I'll tell you another one. The other one I'm really looking at right now, if I'm being honest, you know, I mentioned Heath Bar, but that's too close to Butterfinger. I'm going to leave it out. 100 Grand is just sitting there. 100 Grand is a very underrated. It's basically a Nestle Crunch with caramel in it, but I've already got caramel with Twix.
You should add Zagnut in there, which is an underrated candy bar, but I think that overlaps a little bit too much with Butterfinger.
Whatchamacallit's amazing. I didn't put Whatchamacallit on here because I've never seen a Halloween-sized Whatchamacallit. Maybe they exist.
Correct.
Whatchamacallit's, I think, the most underrated candy bar of all time. Almond Joy is still out there. If I look at my candies right now, I've got chocolate with the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, chocolate with the Kit Kat, chocolate with the Twix. I've got chocolate with the pretzel M&Ms, and then I've got candy with Twizzlers, candy with Skittles, candy with Blow Pop. Do I just round it out with Mike and Ike or Sour Patch Kids? Oh boy. Well, I got the Skittles. You know what? I've got the Skittles. I got the Twizzlers. I'm going to go, you know what? I'm just going to go Mike and Ike. I'm just going to do it. Mike and Ike. I love my Mike and Ikes. To me, the Mike and Ikes are the ultimate movie theater candy. I love, you know, it's almost like a supersized jelly bean, you know? And I like some of the exotic flavors they have. They're a lot of fun. I can do some damage to some Mike and Ikes.
Yeah, Mike and Ike is a little sweet for me. I respect the selection. And again, I was tempted to pick Sour Patch for myself as well, but it's just too much of a movie theater. You know, the two things one associates, I think, Sour Patch Kids with are, first of all, me high school. It was available at our high school candy machines, and I would just put it in my tongue and suck off the citric acid, and I wouldn't have taste buds, you know, for like 3 days. Associated with the movie theater. And I'm talking more broadly speaking rather than anyone here. A lot of people use bags of Sour Patch to transport edibles from one state to another. That's just something that's worth throwing out there. And so when one eats a bag of Sour Patch Kids, and again, I use this generic one, one always has to ask if there's anything that one should not eat because it's meant for a
good to know. Good to know. No wonder so many people enjoy them. So what did you have a strategy going into this?
No, I didn't. You know, I watch a lot of professional sports, but I've never been much of a draft person. I just go with what I like. You know, I'm not a strategist in putting teams together. I don't know a lot about value over replacement and all those those other things.
That you do have good balance. I'm looking at your roster. So this is your roster. You got Butterfinger, Mounds, chocolate, Payday, which is its own savory thing. Nerds, you got the sugar. You got the gummy bear sugar, peppermint patty for a palate cleanser, Jolly Rancher, something to suck on sugar, and you got the Rolo for the chocolate with the caramel. So you got a good balance.
Yeah, and that's probably, if that was my strategy, it's candy you can eat as a complete meal. It's something that you can have in front of you, and you can have a little bit of everything, and hopefully you won't tip the palate too much in one direction. Do I have perhaps one more chocolate on there than I would like? Perhaps, but just as long as you stick the roll in the fridge, that's what balances it out. That's your dessert. You get a little bit cold, and it helps numb the tongue just a little bit.
And I've got on here Reese's peanut butter cups, miniatures preferred, Kit Kat, Twix, Blow Pops, Twizzlers, pretzel M&Ms, Skittles, and Mike and Ike.
Also, a solid group of candy. I think our biggest point of disagreement, of course, is the Blow Pop, but I realize it's a quintessential role in anyone's candy upbringing. And while some have graduated off from the Blow Pops to better things like Tootsie Pops, sometimes it is nice to regress.
Well, I think what I should do with this is put it out there for the listeners. I think I'm going to put our teams out there, and I want feedback from you, the listeners. So listen, you can subscribe to the show, first of all, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify. But on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a comment on our teams. Tell me who won. Tell me who has the better team. Tell me hot takes on a plate. And look, Rob Patrone TV on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Rob Patrone TV. Give me a shout out. Let me know who's got the better team. Is it Eater Critic Ryan Sutton or me? Who's got, and tell us where we went right. Tell us where we went wrong. And Ryan, before I let you go, I did want to ask you, you've written some great pieces in this weird time where we're not doing traditional restaurant reviews for Eater. But the one that sticks out to me is when you revealed to the world that you had suffered through COVID. First off, how are you doing? Because I know a lot of people, even when they get over it, have long-term issues. And I guess, you know, real quickly, how has that shaped sort of how you're viewing all of this right now as a critic?
Great question. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. The best of my knowledge, I don't have any long-term health effects from my COVID infection. I was one of the earlier people who got sick. I think I got sick in early March when there was still, we thought there were only a handful of cases or a couple hundred cases in the U.S. As it turns out, it was probably running rampant through New York. So I got it during a ski vacation in Idaho. I probably got it in New York. My lung scans look clean. I didn't suffer from any sense of a loss of taste or smell. So I'm very grateful. I'm grateful to be here. Again, I had a very mild case, I should stress. But I should also stress that a very mild case was also extremely uncomfortable. You know, I had a nasty dry cough for a full month, and I probably would have had to have been out of work for a month had I been required to show up at an office. And so, yeah, I'm lucky I got through this. In terms of how it shapes what I do as a critic, I don't know. I would like to hope I would have been as empathetic to people in the hospitality industry, regardless of whether I got sick or not. But that said, I certainly know that if I didn't have a stable income, I would want to make sure. I think COVID has hammered home to me the need, even more so, the need for both sick leave and unemployment assistance and healthcare, social nets that have been sometimes plugged up during this crisis and sometimes not. Sometimes they've been more permanent, sometimes they've been more ad hoc. But I will say it has focused my attention, and I think it has focused a lot of attention on the plight of restaurant workers from front of the house to back of the house. And it has made us all question and think more clearly about the ethics of dining out right now. I don't think anyone has a monopoly on the truth. You know, I've avoided a formal sit-down wait staff dining in the very traditional sense, but I'm constantly reassessing that position and looking towards, you know, restaurants that are, you know, experimenting with different models like the quick service codes and using just runners as opposed to waiters taking orders. And so I'm trying to figure out who's doing it right and who's maybe taking too many risks. But again, no one has a monopoly on the truth. But I think what we do know is that, you know, that the restaurant industry needs a lot more support than it's getting right now from both a local state and federal level.
And, you know, I think it's interesting because it sounds like you're getting to plot your course as a critic. I don't know this for certain, but I would assume there are probably some people who have positions like yours in the country who don't really have a choice whether they go out to eat or not. They're being told, go report on these restaurants and go do indoor dining, whether you feel comfortable with it or not. It's almost not, this is a terrible analogy because I don't want to say it's the same thing, but it's almost like, you know, reporting in a war zone, like it's the job and you have to do it. But it sounds like you're being given the freedom to say, wait, I don't think this is safe and I shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I work for an organization that's, Vox Media, that's incredibly conscientious about the mental and health of everyone and the physical health of everyone. But I have no doubt that there are, you know, not just food writers, but more broadly, journalists right now are taking a lot of risks reporting, whether it be on church gatherings or political gatherings or indoor dining. I have no doubt that journalists around the country are taking many risks. Often in those cases, at those places, for not a whole lot of pay and probably often getting laid off afterwards, because journalism is in a pretty dire state around the country. And so just as we, again, not to equate one with the other, but, you know, we often thank, you know, a lot of professions for taking risks. We should thank journalists for taking risks as well. Often not at their choice, but because it's, yes, I mean, it's jobs they love, but often they're being sent into harm's way without any additional or extra compensation.
Absolutely. And I think that goes for a lot of people right now with a lot of different jobs, whether it's the person who's ringing you up at the grocery store or the person who's serving you dinner or your kids' teachers. So many people right now are being put in positions they never could have imagined themselves being put into. So a lot of people to show a debt of gratitude to, and just have empathy, people. Like, you know, like just don't. If you are eating out, don't, you know, have a little empathy. Maybe the service won't be as good as usual. There's probably a reason. Keep that in mind. Ryan, thank you so much for the time. I can't wait to hear the feedback. And again, you can hit me up on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Rob Patrone TV. If you have any feedback on this, of course, read Ryan Sutton in Eater New York. His stuff is fantastic. Hot Takes on a Plate is part of the Believe Podcast Network. Check them out at BLEAV.com. And again, make sure to subscribe or follow Hot Takes on a Plate wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Rob Patrone. Until next time, ciao.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.